After she had completed and ended her communication with the other viewing screens, the picture changed gradually. After a few sessions I saw a big image of this huge liner's U-bringer. I was amazed at the immense size of this ship. It was hanging motionless in space and filled the big viewing screen completely. Above and underneath and all around were shining glowing brilliant stars. This unusual flight apparatus took the form of a huge cylinder that in the middle had a gigantic section, like a partition, a clearly visible center part. Chapter 4, Waiting for the Zubringer. Immediately the Zubringer changed its position to vertical to a vertical position C, and Reyes, it is now changing its position, she explained. In a few minutes the Zubringer spaceship will be ready to receive all the beings of our ship here. Now we have to wait, because it is never too late to lay out our safe protection, which wouldn't be possible at this very moment, because the ship needs all of its energy to make the maneuver and to connect to our ship. We can already see that a dangerous situation we could exclude. There is no danger here now whatsoever. With our very quick calculating machines we can estimate and figure out the exact times in space, how to maneuver and how to recognize possible dangers in its maneuvering toward the connecting to our ship right now. Again I was trying very hard to follow her intellectually, you know, in my thoughts to understand, to comprehend. My ability to imagine clearly and to visualize was completely abandoning me now. But DeGlow was right there to help me to understand. She again, with her invisible finger, turned my brain around, to create some kind of order in my understanding. All of a sudden I felt a very pleasant inner peace. I did not have to use so much force to understand her anymore, to understand her correctly and to follow her and to realize what she was trying to explain. Now I was able to come to understanding her explanations with great ease and without much effort. About this great large quarter that separates the Zubringer ship, she continued, this is the heart of the energy that powers the ship and all its components that control the movements of the ship. She explained. Installed there are two of our fusion machines that function in a vacuum. They are especially protected and are created out of special materials. When these operating machines are fired up, they take a couple of weeks to warm up before they are ready for long flights. If we did not have these special machines, it would be impossible for us to take such long space flights. We are absolutely dependent on this technology and its safe operation. We must be able to trust it completely. This kind of machines on the mothership are much larger and can also accomplish much more powerfully this energy action. We now will adjust a little bit more so that we can reach the Zubringer ship, so that we can collect and exchange more people over. 27 The Zubringer had completed its vertical maneuver and now only half of the machine filled the viewing screen. After that the picture disappeared from the screen and the image of the commandant of the Zubringer, a woman, appeared in its place. She began lightly discussing with DeGlow. I was convinced that they were at first talking about me and then about other things. I heard my name mentioned several times. The name of the female commandant was not up to now mentioned. DeGlow, my fairy, was laughing, and she turned to me and said, so, Andreas, now we can get ready to connect to the Zubringer ship. She took me by the hand and together we walked to this shower cabinet. She gave me a yellow cloth out of my pants pocket, and she put it on my head. She was carefully watching that my suit was fitted to me correctly. I looked around as I stood in the small shower cabinet, and that ended with a click sound and was locked. I was locked in. I received instructions from DeGlow. How I should, how I must behave in the beginning when I would enter the Zubringer spaceship as I am being transferred. DeGlow was giving me instructions as to how I should behave, and what I must do when the Zubringer spaceship began transferring people. Then I felt a strong vibration and a trembling in my limbs, all the way to my limbs, and then slightly after that everything began to swim in front of my eyes and I passed out. For a moment I felt like a feather for the smallest second. My senses were out. But this feeling passed very quickly. As I became aware again, and dressed myself, DeGlow opened the door to the cabinet, the shower cabinet, and invited me into a 4 square meter room. It was a quarantine room where we had to stay a few minutes. No sooner had I taken my place when we were engulfed and immersed in a strange smelling fog that had a musky smell. It was similar to the fog as when I first entered the shuttlecraft. It was a device that protected the future for all beings who entered this flight object. Presently, I thought, they'd curb these disinfection procedures. While this disinfection phase was going on, Degelo conversed with other beings. At the end of this conversation, she burst out into a barking laugh, which she did rarely. That strange barking did not sound like an authoritarian, a way of authority. My thoughts were racing through my brain. The Degelo braced my shoulder. "So it is. So it is," she said. When she acted this way, it was becoming clear to me that I felt she was letting me know I had the right thinking. As I was puzzling and musing on this, I was wondering about the ability she had to stir my brains with her finger. How did she do that? As that thought was being completed in my mind, Degelo called me into a room. After that, after she spoke, silently a door opened. Chapter 5, Aboard There's You Bringer. Jointly we entered a small hallway that was illuminated by a weak reddish light. The hallway was curved and ended up in a personnel transport, like a transport car at an airport. Suddenly, after we arrived, as we turned the last bend of the curve, I noticed immediately something glass. Like a glass material, and it locked behind us. At least it looked like a kind of door. The transport began to move. Soon it came to a stop and the door opened. Then we walked through, onto the personnel transport van, and everything that I could behold and see was created and constructed of materials like I had never seen on Earth. There were floors as smooth and shiny as mirrors, although there was no danger of slipping on a slick or sliding surface. And I could completely behold the beautified rooms and hallways. Everything was so beautiful and I thought I could be in an art gallery. Degelo caught my thoughts. She noticed that I was pleasantly surprised and she caressed my hair on my head. And she laid her hand on my shoulder and we walked from one hallway to another, and twice we took an elevator. After that we only had to walk a few more meters and passed a small empty hallway and ended up in a room with many glass doors. Doors made of some kind of glass-like transparent material. In front of one of these glass doors we stopped, and no matter where I looked, up and down, it was all in a shimmering color, of pink, bluish and in a greenish hue, and at each time or place of a shimmering there appeared images of plants and flowers. In one there was a head of corn, and one kernel of this corn was at least 2 centimeters large, and I said, "Such big ears of corn I have never seen on our Earth," I said. "That is enormous." I was happy with my discovery and I gauged with my finger this picture etching on the glass door. Degelo looked at me with a big smile and nodded. "You are a very good observer," she said. "A nice ear it is, and the only difference from your corn is that your corn came from this life, originated from our corn, but your kernels are much smaller due to different growing conditions." While she was telling me this, she reached in her pocket and took out a flat triangular object that she entered the door with. She was able to open the door with that. Suddenly the door opened. We entered a large room. There something strange happened to me. I became completely gay and happy. As always, 29 Degelo noticed. She always knew all my thoughts and feelings. But this time she did not interfere or make any comment. Something in the corner attracted my attention magically. There was a shining object there 180 to 200 centimeters high and with a smooth surface. I laid my hand on it and a vibration flowed through me. Unrestrictedly, I had the impression that I stood on top of a small height, and that I was able to gaze on this room from above. With fascination I went back to this 180 centimeter object, which they called a guarda, and touched the opposite side of its shiny surface. Now I had an impression that I was in a valley, a huge valley. Quickly Degelo pulled me away. "Come, come," she said, "we are going to eat." We crossed the room where there were artistic pillars adorned with art. Between them there were fantastically beautiful growing green plants and small trees, tastefully planted and arranged. There were incredible colors and blooming plants that were visited by thousands of insects. And all of these activities were sort of loosening up the room. I remember two very exotic looking plants. Especially do I remember them. I saw an approximately 3 meters tall tree with a 1 meter long brown fur, like a fir tree trunk. The end showed two bright green leaves, and among these two bright green leaves hung many, many fiery red hairy fist-sized balls. Digalo knocked with her hand on this trunk and suddenly that strange plant opened its branches and the leaves began to hang down, as if they were damaged. The little fire red balls developed on the floor and the fragments unpeeled. After a few seconds these tube-like leaves would rise again, but they crumbled and disappeared quickly. The fire red blossoms fell down after that. Gradually a red dust of pollen fell down like snow. Soon those fantastic big intensely colored insects came and ate this pollen eagerly. Another fantastic plant had the shape of a huge melon, with at least 150 centimeters large white blossoms on it. It would extend its peach-colored blossoms interior a few centimeters out. This time Digalo create a little wind with her hand and fanned the reddish blossom dust into the air. After the dust settled back down around the plant, there developed a glue-like biting smelly film, and that smelly film attracted many different kinds of insects. Two big half-green butterflies lowered themselves onto the blossom, and the blossom sank into the folds of the interior part of the bloom head, and the blossom closed. Do you see, Andreas? The insects serve as an alarm system. When they change their activities, and when they act unfriendly, we have to adjust the opposite activities to keep the ship safe. Behind the last pillar as we turned to the left and entered a large round room about 80 to 100 square meters in area, we could see, in the middle of this huge room stood a black table in a triangular form and four seats. Someone had already served the table and on it were mostly vegetarian menu dishes. I noticed many unknown fruits and vegetable varieties as well as potatoes, beans, corn, melons and pears. 30 The eating utensils were made out of a shining metal and gave a barely different form from the eating utensils we humans use at home here on Earth. Just as we entered and sat down at the table, two new guests arrived. They were a woman 1 meter 17 tall and a man of 1 meter 50. The skin color of the woman was a yellowish and her wavy hair fell down to her shoulder. She also had a face distinguished by high cheekbones and very sensual thick lips, a pointed chin and a small round nose like a ball. Underneath this nose was a small oval opening. She had dark shiny slanted eyes with small eyebrows. As she walked her hips graciously swung side to side, like a model. She was a beautiful being. When the man entered with that beautiful being, even though small of stature, he made a remarkable impression. His skin color had a light gray shine to it. He had no hair on his head, but his features looked European. Both beings wore very tight-fitting brown suits that were darker from the waist down. And on the pants' legs, left and right, I could see a 5 centimeter wide yellow stripe down the outside. Both of these beings had a symbol in a star formation on a small patch on their suits, with a symbol like a stylized Z on their right breast pocket on the chest. One star stood out in the insignia and it would show from which home star they came. Their home star was 3 stars above that of Digalo's. Chapter 6, Ideas for Research Group. Suddenly my fairy lady motioned me toward the guests and she indicated that I sit down. Shortly after that they engaged in a very light conversation. I understood absolutely nothing, but amused myself immensely by looking around. As quickly as the speaking began it ended the beings began to dine easily and quietly, without ever speaking a word, and they gave themselves ample time to eat and enjoy. I took from the unfamiliar fruits and vegetables, and fish and beans and ate. After I was satisfied I laid my eating utensils aside and I leaned backward in my chair. They all looked at me in surprise. Without a word this other man handed me something that was rolled up, a shiny green color. We call it a poison green, because it is a green color that usually indicates poison, like a horsefly green, a leaf wrap as big as a hand, and he looked at me with a mischievous smile. After I took this leaf I looked at Duglo, and she was also looking at me with a mischievous smile and nodded. I wanted to be polite and I did not want to disappoint anybody, because they were quite friendly. And so I stuffed this leaf into my mouth and chewed upon it. Very soon I noted what their intentions were in handing me this delicacy, this rolled leaf. The collected hot sharpness fully developed in my mouth and tears filled my eyes. The reaction from this sharp flavor was quite strong, and quickly I grabbed one of the glasses. It had a reddish juicy liquid in it, and I drank it empty. Coincidentally, I had grabbed the right liquid drink, for very quickly this strong horseradish taste disappeared from my mouth. After eating, the other female being, with that round nose, touched something on the end of that table, and there appeared a beautifully ornate vehicle that came to our dining table. Everybody put their dishes upon it and I too. And now the meal was ended. On this ornate vehicle there were colored buttons to push. The female being took it upon herself to maneuver these buttons for this vehicle. The vehicle drove itself to a small corner near the elevator area and returned and parked itself to where it came from. Diglo asked me if I thought it was a tasty meal and if I enjoyed it, and whether I was feeling satisfied. And she was satisfied with my reply. Suddenly a very light conversation began between the three. Probably they spoke about whether they could explain to me, or whether and what they should show me. According to my estimate of time, this conversation took about a half hour until they could clear this up among each other. About what would be appropriate for me and how I could handle it. 32 After a few moments we all arose, got up, and walked together toward those doors with the corn cobs engraved on it. Diglo reached the door first and she opened it with her shiny triangular card, and we went through and into the hallway with the very smooth shiny floor, toward the elevator. After that we looked on a viewing screen having on a panel many buttons and symbols made of different geometric designs and colored in light and dark yellow. Diglo activated a light yellow circular symbol. There was an arrangement of symbols on a board with other light yellow signs. My fairy lady spoke a few words, and immediately the monitor showed a shot of a place in the station, of the station to which we wanted to go. Silently the door opened into a 4x4 meter square large elevator. The elevator was made out of the same material as the corn door. This glass material in the elevator showed the same kind of engravings as the corn images. They showed non-animals and also mythological animals. I looked upwards and gazed upon these many animals like winged water lions, centaurs, unicorns and others less mythical like dinosaurs, winged horses and fishes of strange appearance, etc. One of these beings had swimming web membranes between the fingers and toes. There were also examples of combined animals and many other similar figures. While I was looking intently and in heavy contemplation at these figures, Diglo allowed me a little time to absorb all of these engravings. After we left the elevator we entered her studio, her workroom or office. She already sat for a few moments on a light couch that belonged to a bigger setting arrangement. Without having been asked I sat myself down there. Her studio, or workroom, as you wish to call it, had 5 corners and was about 50 to 60 square meters in size. The walls were made of a similar glass-like material as in the elevator. They were ornamented with many similar engravings to those in the elevator, and the floors shinned like a mirror. In a very subtle way the drawers were recessed into the walls, and a small beautifully ornate fountain tinkled with trickling water. There were green plants, and atmospheric lights in harmony with all. See, we find ourselves now in a galactic research center, the center I lead. We have only a little time and we will have to work very intensely. Behind this door is my bed. You will find everything a human on Earth would need. You may refresh yourself if you like. Most certainly I took her up on her offer. As I entered the room I was astonished. I saw what looked like a fine hotel room, very Earth-like, about 20 to 25 square meters in size. On the bed lay a pajama. I decided to shower before resting. Cautiously I opened a panel and a bath cubicle opened up. I stepped in. A light fog, A very refreshing and pleasant fragrance of fir trees came in with the fog. After that, warm water splashed on me. It had the same pleasant fragrance as the fir trees. It flowed over my body most pleasantly. 33 As I dried myself the towel I used absorbed the water most greedily. But right now, during this time, I gave this activity very little attention. Dressed again, I entered Degelo's workroom. She had already detected my presence again. I felt very regenerated after the shower. "Okay," Degelo said, "please enter and sit down." I followed her suggestion. At this moment she was like a shimmering sun in the cosmos. She released a contact on her seat and suddenly the floor opened up and a glass table in shape like a television table appeared, including a matching chair, which also appeared. In the table was a small viewing screen, and on the edge of it two small geometric symbols appeared. Between these two symbols I saw signs of a very unusual form of writing. Because she had prepared herself for a meeting, she handed me a gadget which resembled a very comfortable headphone. "Now this is a device for translation of galactic languages for you. When you speak into it your language will reach the language knowledge container, and after that it will be converted. So in this way we may comfortably converse with each other in all the languages of other worlds with no problem. In our central knowledge bank are all past and all present languages and writings of Earth. They are all there. In order to activate the translation one has only to touch the right buttons. For our meeting there will be three more scientists. Two of them you have already met in the dining area. When they come to sit down with you and us here, these guests will equally bring their translation equipment here with them. With your translation equipment you will be able to speak and be understood without any problem. You will be able to understand and comprehend and you will be able to translate just as easily." At this moment the door to the elevator opened and the woman with the round nose and the slender gray-skinned bald, dark brown suited, 1.70 meter tall man came into Deglow's studio. Silently we all sat down and nodded, and he nodded in a friendly way to me. And I greeted him as well. I put the translation headpiece on. But first I looked and contemplated this newly arrived brown foreign being. He was beautiful but he also had European facial features. In body form and size he was close to me. But his hands I could see had only four long skinny fingers. I was curious and touched his hand. After that he looked at me and was touched. Cautiously I took my hand and stroked him on his skin and hairline. With this expression of mine, it gave me the knowledge that he had a very different kind of skin from mine. There he had tiny, tiny short brown hair in the face and also on the rest of his body, which is why these beings were brownish in color. Degelo joined into our conversation. Then she began to open the meeting. She busied herself with the tasked tour of the viewing screen with all of the buttons on the viewing screen in the table. 34 Probably she was entering the connections to the knowledge equipment of the Galactic Research Center, because after that she spoke to the equipment. She mentioned a date and a time, but I did not understand. Then she entered into that equipment all of the beings in the meeting, that were the meeting for that research. She thus introduced them each and their duties. She spoke very fast. Even though I was concentrating very hard, I most of the time could not follow her. Only towards the end did I begin to follow a little bit. After that she gave the speaking equipment the order to release certain information. And then she entered the instructions into the machine. The glass wall moved in a certain direction and the 4-meter by 4-meter panel, a large flat and shiny fine woven metallic screen appeared. On this metallic frame gradually appeared a clear picture for the wished and the desired blocks for the research group were entered in. After that the machine communicated with Deglow and the members of the research group in various and different languages. I could barely follow what they were talking about. I was certainly fascinated by the intelligence of this machine. It was a thinking intelligent electronic equipment from strange foreign hominid beings. I did not know what hominid meant either in a millionth of a second, in nanoseconds, it quickly received the instructions from Deglo. Then on the screen appeared mysterious signs and symbols that resembled Arabic and Chinese writing. Deglo changed the machine, She touched upon a symbol on the table on the viewing screen. Readily she gave it orders, and gave it the instruction to draw and compare everything. Because this experience was so fascinating, I was not closely following when Degolo started to speak to me. Again I felt a great rushing speed, and again she acknowledged and followed in a second speed in my thoughts. For a quick moment I thought I felt her move my brain around. Each time she did this she would lay her arm around me. This time it was different. She went further. She looked lovingly into my eyes and she caressed kindly my cheek. Satisfied, she noticed that I was able to continue my concentration. The seed. The order of the seed while I was there for my instruction continued the same until the end. Degolo said two words to my left side. This being with the shiny fine hair sat to my right. Opposite from Degolo sat this small gray man, and behind him that beautiful being with a rounded nose. Her nose was more like a bud. But she was a beautiful being. At the start of the meeting, the smaller man arose and collected from all present those triangular chips and put them in a place near the viewing screen where there was a slot. 35 Within a second the viewing screen addressed itself to each guest and provided a text, a field of text in the size of a square meter, with the language appropriate to the entry. The second quadrangle that appeared on the screen that had information in appropriate languages, each in blue, with signs in yellow that would glow and a violet background appeared. These signs were created out of many wavy lines and circles interspersed with dots and short lines. Even though I could make out nothing of these displays, I was glad in this aggregation of symbols and multitude of languages when I could recognize some of the geometric figures, geometric forms that were put together in various odd ways. What a food for my brain plate! I was reacting and would smile in the direction of Degolo, who acknowledged and also noticed my joy. I found myself in a different world with many new signs, but I was happy because I could recognize some of the signs that were familiar to me. It wasn't so important to me what they meant, but I was pleased that I could even discover them. My joy did not escape the other guests, and this small man took this opportunity to start his presentation. "Human son," he said. "We acknowledge your readiness to learn. I'll explain why we have shown an interest in you. You are very young and very creative, and still free from the influences of the city life. You shall be able to see things that no Earth being has seen in a very long time. Our goal is that everything that you experience here, you could share with other human beings in the future, when the time is right. Scientific formulas will not be explained to you. You would not be able to understand them anyway. But we are willing to give you a technical education and development, and show you the reactions and probabilities, and opportunities, which we will show you. You also will be shown things that your humanity does not have yet. Everything that you see and experience here, at the right time you will remember. And now I will introduce the group of scientists that are especially interested in the hominid races, as well as their development. Degolo is familiar to you. She is the leader of this research group. She comes from Arion, the fourth planet from her sun. From her planet to your Earth, whose sun we call Rawla, is 59 light years Earth time. I am T. Our planet's name is Uru. We have the same sun as the planet Arion, Degolo's home planet. Uru is the second planet from our sun. Uru is almost as big as Arion, and you dash and you. And he was looking at the lady with the bud nose, come from the planet N. When the people of N go to the planet Arion, they will have to travel about 850 times light year speed, and it will take 30 years. Because of obstacles between, greater speeds are not acceptable. The planet N is as big as planet Earth, but it has much less water. When this planet N is exhausted, in this same planetary system there is still a same sized planet called Pu. A planet that the Nezans have engineered and 36 made livable, and some beings from N live there now as well. N is the third planet out from their sun. T, there, comes from the planet Paul. The planet Paul is the seventh planet out, but this is the only occupied planet of its sun, and it is twice the size of planet Earth, but its sun is three times as big as the sun of Earth. The Pallians would need about 65 flight years by 1,875 times the speed of light. On this planet, Paul, there is enough water, but one has to dig very deep for it. The Pallian people are neither male nor female normally.